Hey there. Hello, I'm Bernie Miklas. Welcome to the Bernie Miklas Show here on the YouTube channel. Thanks for all your support as always, and appreciate it and appreciate all your comments. Got in there and mixed it up a little bit last night during the day. It was fun. Enjoyed that. Thanks for hitting the like buttons. Thanks for just all your support. I'm going to do something a little different today, so I'll give you the game plan. I'm going to do two videos, and I'm going to try to make both of these on the shorter side rather than the longer side. I'm going to talk about Mason Wynn and the Rookie of the Year voting in the National League first, but later on, I'll be back to do a video on the fact that Robert Thomas is returning to the ice. He'll be back in the lineup for the Blues in their home game against the Wild this evening at Enterprise Center. And Thomas had missed 11 games with an ankle injury, and he's gotten back sooner than expected. So this is a good thing, good positive thing. The Blues need some positives. We'll get to that one later. Let's talk about Mason Wynn. I did not expect the Cardinals rookie shortstop to win the National League Rookie of the Year award, not with the Pirates mountain-sized pitcher Paul Skeens dominating, just a great, great rookie campaign. And, I've heard some people say, well, he didn't even start the season in the majors. That's not his fault. That's the Pirates playing games. It didn't matter. He was fantastic and definitely deserved number one. I have no problem with Jackson Merrill, the San Diego Padres center fielder, coming in second. He was above average defensively. He was very good offensively, and he was playing out of position. Mike Schilt moved him from shortstop to center field because he needed a center fielder. And in that context, Merrill handled it very, very well. The third place finisher was Brewers corner outfielder Jackson Chirillo. And terrific offensive player, good speed, not so good defensively. So I think maybe what I was expecting is that Mason Wynn would get a scattering, if you will, of third place votes, fourth place votes, but he didn't get any of that. Finishing fourth was the Cubs starting pitcher Shota Imanaga, who was given four third-place votes. So not even a fourth-place vote, in effect. Even though it was a third-place vote, he still finished fourth in terms of the total points handed out, and they counted up the ballots. So nowhere was Mason Wynn mentioned, and I think that that's a shame. I think that's probably undeserved. I do think it's undeserved. No need to be willy-nilly here. Based on the Baseball Reference version of wins above replacement, and I'm going to be fair, I'm going to tell you about the Fangraphs version of wins above replacement later on in this little piece I'm doing here. But based on the Baseball Reference version of WAR, Wynn led all major league rookies with 4.9 wins above replacement. He was first among all major league rookies, not just National League, all major league rookies in defensive wins above replacement. And he was second among all major league rookies, not just National League, in offensive wins above replacement. Of course, we know that Wynn led all big league shortstops, including veterans, in defensive runs saved, and an esteemed panel of voters on for the Fielding Bible Awards, which goes to the best player at every position, not based on what league you're in. Like, in other words, you pick one shortstop in the entire major leagues, he gets the Fielding Bible Award, and that went to Mason Wynn. He was honored with that, and I actually pay more attention to that myself than the Gold Glove. And I know the Gold Glove Award is prestigious, and Wynn was a finalist, but he didn't win that one either. But I have no problem with who did win it. The Colorado shortstop was very, very good. He's certainly worthy. But I like the Fielding Bible because I know how their process is, and I know that they put a lot of thought and care and study and research and discussion into it. It isn't just kind of like, well, who are you voting for, Joe? That's the way these major league managers and coaches do. I don't know. Well, we got to get on the bus. You better fill that out quickly, that kind of thing. I like the care that they put into the Fielding Bible Awards. And I also like the fact that, again, only one player at each position. That's it. If you look at Chirillo, terrific hitter, no doubt about it. Great offensive player, really exciting player. But He was just a little neck above average in terms of wins above replacement for his defensive work. We mentioned Jackson Merrill, who just did a heck of a job this year. No problem with him, especially because he finished 27% above the league average offensively if you go by OPS plus. So I think he deserved that. As I mentioned earlier, he deserved that second place recognition. I just don't understand why Wynn was shut out. And again, I know that the rookie class in the National League for 2024 was loaded. I mean, there's a lot of really good rookies. But given Wynn's all-around value and given the difficulty of the position that he plays, and I think we all agree, you don't have to be a homer in St. Louis to agree with this. I think shortstop's a really, really difficult position to play. It's also a physically taxing position to play. I think it probably takes, other than being a catcher, I think playing shortstop probably takes more out of you than any other position. So in that context, like, the fact that his defense was overlooked, and basically this was all based on offense, and that's what these voters were telling me in terms of at least when it comes to Merrill and it comes to Chirillo. It's okay. I mean, and the Baseball Writers Association votes on this. Okay, they can do what they want. I just don't understand why Wynn was not worthy of one down ballot vote. Not even the two St. Louis voters gave him that. And they probably know him better than I do, except I just watch performance and try to do the homework to try to put the performance in context. I think Mason Wynn was damn good, outstanding in 2024. He had that intense workload for 6 months. He's 22 years old, first major league season. He played a lot. He played so much. And he wore down offensively, especially. And although he made some more errors late in the season, and that was the only mark against his defense. But I don't pay attention to errors as much as some people do because I don't trust the official scoring. You know, this is something that's subjective among each individual scorer. Anyway. But I think Wynn did get tired, and I do think that reduced his offensive case. It reduced his offensive numbers, and I could see where people looking for an excuse to bypass him, they got that, and so that way they could make sure they take care of a Cubs rookie player pitcher, Imanaga, and he's eligible for the award. Look, I know he's 30 years old. I know that he had the benefit of pitching 8 seasons in Japan. But he's qualified for Rookie of the Year, so I don't have any gripes about that. But I'm just saying, it's so hard for me to compare, to try to put in perspective a 22-year-old shortstop playing such a hard job all for 6 months to a vastly experienced pitcher that is really a veteran just in terms of his high-level baseball experience. But again, he's eligible, and so he got voted fourth. And there was a lot there to back that up. I mean, Imanaga had a really good ERA, 2.91. His individual one loss record, which can be deceiving because it's a team sport, but it's 15-3. So he did a hell of a job, but I keep repeating myself and I apologize. I still find it hard to believe Mason Wynn got shut out. He got blanked. He struck out. No, just not one little check mark, not one little name written in, just one. And I got another theory on this too. So the thing about Wynn is his overall numbers by the end of the year, they were fine, but they weren't like great. They were fine. They were good. They were decent. They were solid. But among major league rookies, not just National League, among major league rookies who met the standard for minimum plate appearances necessary to qualify for a batting title, Wynn was ranked second in most times on base, third in total bases, third in extra base hits, third in batting average, fifth in slugging percentage. So let's see. He's the top defensive shortstop in baseball. And if you put him in there with rookies in the major leagues, National League included, who had at least 500 plate appearances, because again, that's the more a guy plays, that's the more important or the more representative his work is as far as his final stats. You measure a guy 500 plate appearances as opposed to like 250. The 500 plate appearance guy, there's much more meaning and value in what he did because it's a much larger sample. It takes in the whole season. So when you got a guy that is the best shortstop according to Fielding Bible in the majors and had the most defensive runs saved in the majors at that position, the StatCast stuff wasn't quite as positive, but it was positive enough. So you have the guy that was a really terrific defensive player and the best rookie defensive player in the major leagues. And among qualifying rookie hitters, he was in the top three, top five of all these categories. So what's the problem? Not one vote? Again, I didn't expect him to win it. No way, no chance. I'm totally fine with Merrill, the Padres center fielder, finishing second. I thought, I'm repeating myself, but I want to reinforce the point. I thought that Wynn would get some third place recognition. He didn't. He didn't even get fourth place recognition. So I have another theory about this. And tell me what you think. I think this also reflects on the team itself. It reflects on the St. Louis Cardinals franchise and the decline of Cardinals baseball and the Cardinals sinking into national irrelevance over the last, 23 and 24, and the feeling that, okay, now they're rebuilding, but they weren't a serious player last year. They stayed in the race for 4 months and then faded. They had an awful season in 2023. And I really think I could be overreaching, and tell me if I am, and that's okay. We can disagree on this. But I think when you see a guy like Mason Wynn get overlooked and you see him being so underrated by voters who frankly should know better. That's why they have votes. They're supposed to do the work to make sure they recognize the right people, even if it's just, again, Mason Wynn not winning or finishing second or even third, but just some recognition. No, I think that's more about the Cardinals than it is Mason Wynn. I think the Cardinals are an afterthought. I think the Cardinals have faded and disappeared from the big national stage. You don't see people writing and talking about the Cardinals on a national level. I see stuff written and said about the Cardinals, frankly, on a national level where I'm like, did they do any homework? Did they actually kind of look at this first? Or no, because Cardinals suck. Cardinals are mediocre. Cardinals don't matter. Cardinals haven't done anything in the postseason for a long time. Haven't won a postseason round since 2019. And so I think that influences the voting a little bit if you sort of have a coin flip, be trying to pick one guy the other. It didn't apply in terms of the third or the fourth place vote this year, though, because or the guy that finished fourth because the Cubs missed the playoffs too. But it's interesting because if you retrace it in recent years, you know, in 2019, the Cardinals had a gold glove winner. I think it was Goldie. In 2020, and they made the playoffs in 2019. 2020, and I know it was the COVID season, but they had two Gold Glove winners in Wong and Tyler O'Neill. In 2021, they were a playoff team. That was the year they had a bunch of Gold Glove winners: Nolan Arenado, Tommy Edman, Paul Goldschmidt, Tyler O'Neill, and Harrison Bader. Playoff team. And at that point, that was their third season in a row making the postseason. They were on the stage. They had a lot more illuminated than they are now. Then you go in 2022, big-time award. Goldie wins the MVP, and Arenado finished third, and the Cardinals won 93 games. But that's the point. Winning. Winning, I think, promotes your candidacy for various awards. MVP voters always look at the winning teams first. They look at the teams that are definitely going to the playoffs because the voting is done at the end of the regular season. Does not take into account the postseason. But, Goldie and Arenado, they were prominent in 2022 because the Cardinals were prominent. And Albert Pujols was back. And he put on a show in the second half of the season. And Yadier Molina was in his final season. And that got a lot of attention. And Pujols and Molina were doing the farewell season together and walking off together. And Adam Wainwright, who will be a Cardinals Hall of Famer, along with Pujols and Molina. Adam Wainwright had his last good season. He was bad in 2023, but in 2022, he was still really good. So they're going to get recognition in that situation because the limelight was on them a lot, right? 2023, none. No awards. 2024, no awards. Couple finalists, but a couple three finalists, but no awards. You know, the Cardinals haven't won a Rookie of the Year award since Pujols in 2001. And before that, it was Todd Worrell in 1986 and then Vince Coleman in 1985. But tell me if you think that I am wrong. Do you agree with my theory that the Cardinals' loss of prestige and prominence as a franchise makes it tougher for a kid, a young man like Mason Wynn to get MVP? Excuse me. Let me say that again. To get Rookie of the Year recognition, even minor recognition. Does it make it easy for voters to just say, what did the Cardinals do? They didn't do anything. But, you know, Chirillo helped the Brewers get to the playoffs. Merrill switched positions. Mike Schilt moving shortstop to center field. He'd never played it before. He did a great job, which is true. And Paul Skeens, his team didn't win. But other than Otani, did any individual player in the major leagues make more of a splash and get more national attention? And every time he pitched, it was a big event. Did anybody get more attention other than Otani? If you want to say Juan Soto, you can name a couple other people, but I would say Otani got the most attention of any individual. And then number two, I think it was Paul Skeens. And again, just like Steve Carlton won the Cy Young, what was it, the 1972 Phillies? They were a horrible team. It didn't matter. He was so dominant. He was absolutely the automatic Cy Young Award winner. And it's same the case with Paul Skeens. I think the Cardinals, as they disappear from being one of the great consistent winners of this era, as they sort of retreat into the shadows, I think it's going to be tougher for their players to win individual awards, even though they may get a nod here and there, like Wynn being a finalist for the Gold Glove. And, you know, a couple other Gold Glove nominations a year ago. And Arenado was a finalist this year. I just don't think it's going to be as easy for that to happen. That's all I'm trying to say. So it wasn't just about the voters, and it wasn't just about Mason Wynn could have done this, could have done that. It was about, to me, this is tied to the decline of the Cardinals as well and the fact they're just not in the spotlight as much. By the way, I said I would do this out of fairness to the voters. If you look at the National League rookie class, you know, Fangraphs has a different version of wins above replacement than does Baseball Reference. And again, Baseball Reference had Mason Wynn as the top rookie in the majors in terms of WAR. Top defensive rookie in the majors, second best offensive rookie in the majors. According to Fangraphs, their version of WAR, he finished third in the National League among position players to Merrill and Chirillo. But he had a higher defensive WAR rating from Fangraphs than they did. And I think one of the things they obviously rated him third offensive. He was down a little bit, but he rated those other two guys much higher offensively and also gave them a higher base running rating than Wynn. So there's a discrepancy between Baseball Reference and Fangraphs, but it's not like Fangraphs buried Mason Wynn where you had to like search for his name. They just had the other two guys on top of him with more wins above replacement and much better offense. It doesn't change my view that Mason Wynn was overlooked and he was underappreciated and he is now officially underrated nationally. That'll do it for now, and I'll be back in a little while with something on Robert Thomas and the Blues. Thank you for watching. I'm interested in your comments, so please write on and leave them. Thank you very much.